Well, good morning and welcome. Welcome to another week in our series, The Struggle is Real. As we dive through important themes in the book of Proverbs, I've been inspired by it. I hope you have as well. Last week, Chris Conway, he gave a great message about integrity, which is one of the important themes in the book of Proverbs. And if you were here, you'll know he used this image of just standing for something, meaning as Christians, integrity means we stand for God and His kingdom. We stand for the person and teaching of Jesus. And to have integrity means that we live in that. And it was inspiring. So I went home, I was all pumped up about this idea, and then Monday morning I woke up and went to work. Right? And the struggle is real. And is there any place that it is harder to stand for Jesus and live in integrity than at work? What I mean is, some of you might be thinking, how do I stand for Jesus and survive at work? Or even thrive at work? Now, theoretically, it's easier for me because I work at a church, But the struggle is real, right? And so this morning we're going to dive into the subject of work, which is a very important theme in the book of Proverbs. And as we're talking about this, I want you to know that everything we talk about, especially when we talk about work, it applies to more than just employment. Many of us are employed, and our work is something we get paid to do. But a lot of us also work, and we don't get paid, right? For instance, you might volunteer. We have so many people who volunteer here at Rose Drive Friends Church, and I see them here all the time, and they have this sense of vocation. They have this sense of calling that I'm doing this. I'm meeting people here, and I'm feeding them, or I'm helping them find their way, that's what I do. Some of you work at home. Some of you are raising children. You're raising grandchildren. You do other kinds of things. All that fit under the biblical idea of work, that which we invest in, that which we see as our calling, that we do with a sense of purpose. That's work. So, how do I thrive at work? That's one of the questions Proverbs wants to answer. And as always, the answer in the book of Proverbs, the first answer is the way that you thrive at work is through wisdom. That is, through following the path of wisdom, meaning God's wisdom. There's a way of wisdom that applies to our work. And we see it throughout, but especially in the beginning of the book of Proverbs, there's this offer to us. And I just feel like repeating this all the time, every week, so that it soaks into our hearts and minds. But listen to the way it's described here. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in blameless. The upright, the blameless, are those in Proverbs who walk in the way of wisdom, who apply themselves to following God's path of wisdom. And notice in the middle of that passage that I have up here, it says, He holds success in store. We're going to talk a lot about success maybe today, but I want you to see from the outset that God makes this offer. If you want to thrive, if you want to succeed, if you want all of the things that come from knowing God and having wisdom, this is the path, this is the way. And so we're going to talk about that path today. We're going to see wisdom at work, okay? And we're going to see it in what you might think is an unusual place, okay? In fact, I told the preaching team this week when we meet every week, I said, this is either going to be a great idea or a terrible idea. And we'll let you be the judge of that. We're going to turn, I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Proverbs 31, the very last chapter in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is roughly in the middle of your Bible, just past the book of Psalms, a big book. and Proverbs 31. That's the very last chapter. We're going to come to the very end portion of Proverbs today. And this is why you might think this is unusual. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, it gives a description of a woman, usually referred to as a wife. She has a husband and children, you'll see in this passage. And the Hebrews use the word, same word for woman and wife. And what's in here is a pretty incredible description of a person. And often, so often, this passage is presented as the description of the ultimate wife or the ultimate mother. And in fact, many women, you might be one of them if you're here today, that have felt incredible pressure, incredible burden, even resentment at being told somehow you have to meet this standard. So sort of like being told you need to look like Barbie, right? But this is good. This is God's words to us. And what I want you to see in here today is that this description that I'm going to read for you in a minute, it's far more than just the picture of a woman who is somehow the ultimate female. Because this woman is the woman wisdom. Throughout the book of Proverbs, wisdom is described both as a path and a person. Over and over again in the book of Proverbs, the young man is told, get wisdom, she won't leave you. Get wisdom, she won't depart from you. She's faithful, she's good, she does this. It's pictured as a woman. And here at the very end of the book, the ultimate description of the wise person, the wise woman, is presented to us. Okay, so I want you to see all of that today. It's like the teaching of wisdom being summarized. It's the ultimate expression of what wisdom looks like, and it is a woman, and it's quite a description. So let me just listen. This is Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. I'm going to read through the whole passage, and then we're going to walk our way through it a little bit. It says this, a wife of noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff, and she grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate and where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now, as I read that, did you notice how much of the description of this woman has to do with her work? Did you notice that? I think that's one of the most fascinating and helpful things in this passage is when we see how much of the description of this ultimate woman of wisdom has to do with her work, because this woman is amazingly successful in her business or in her commercial ventures. And so, because it's this ultimate picture of wisdom, there's something here for all of us. Whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're employed or you work in a way where you don't get paid, there's something here for us, okay? And this applies to our work life. All right, so as we walk through this passage, let's dive in and see how wisdom works. And we're going to see four key things today in the way wisdom works for us. So just listen to them, and I'll have some of those points up here on the screen. The first thing we see, just when we go to verse 10, it says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. So there's a talk here about value. She's worth more even than precious stones, right? Her husband has full confidence in her. He has complete trust in her. And he lacks nothing of value. Meaning, because of her, because of what she does, he has lots of value and valuable things, we'll see. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And there's the key right there, that last sentence. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And so the question is, how is it that this woman brings good all the days of her life? Did you notice? It starts in the very next verse. She selects wool and flax, and she works with eager hands. This is a commercial description. This is talking about her work. Okay, so she selects wool and flax. Wool and flax are raw materials, and they're used in the production of linens and garments and that sort of thing. This is her business. In verse 24, it said this, she makes linen garments and she sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes. So she's in textiles, right? She's in production. She buys the raw materials and she supplies both the people who work for her, we'll see, who make these garments, and then she supplies these materials to the merchants in her city or in her town. Verse 14 describes her this way. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. And again, here's another business world or commercial analogy used to describe this woman. She's like the merchant ships. Now, a merchant ship is a ship that would be hired or contracted, and it would go abroad. It'd be gone for a long time. It would find or procure items. It would bring it back to the customer, to the client, and provide them with value or profit. And so this is describing her in those terms. This is what she's like. She brings value to her customer or her client base, we would say. And so she's involved in various kinds of business activities, and she's successful. Verse 18, she sees that her trading is profitable, her trading of goods and materials. It's profitable. And her lamp doesn't go out at night. In fact, it's so profitable that in verse 16 it says, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So her business activities are successful, and she's investing the profit in further activities. Now here she's into agriculture, right? She buys a field, she plants a vineyard. And so she brings good, not harm, here first to her husband through her successful business practices. And so this is why this is a guide for us at work. One of the things that wisdom does, one of the things that wisdom takes us on the path to God's success is when we seek to bring good and not harm to others. And we've seen that she does this for all of those who depend on her, who rely on her. First, it started with her husband, but then there's more. Verse 15, it says, she gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. This isn't just talking about getting up and cooking breakfast. This is talking about provision on a much larger scale. That she has these people who trust her and who rely on her, and she provides for them. Her family and, it says here, her female servants. And so in her culture, these would be the people who worked for her. And she felt and took responsibility for them. Verse 27 says it more broadly. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, for her, a household was different than it would be for you and me in her day. You know, when I think of my household, I think of my immediate family and occasionally the dog, if it's a good day, right? That's my household, the people who live with me. Well, for her, a household would be more like what we think of in terms of an estate that had a house and a farm surrounding it and outbuildings or shops where business things were conducted. That's because people in those days lived where they worked. Most of us, many of us, we leave where we live and go to work. Not all of us, but many of us. We go to our clients or we go to our school, whatever. For her, in her day, it was much more like what I saw when I was in Cambodia. In Cambodia, the streets of the cities are lined with these buildings that are multiple stories. On the bottom floor is the family's store or their shop or their restaurant, and then their housing is in up above, second floor, third floor. It's all, they live and work in the same place. And that's what this is describing. So a household for this woman would be not just her family that she provides for, which she does, but all those engaged in business practices around her, the various businesses happening on her property, as well as her farming interests. And so this is a picture of an entrepreneurial kind of person. And she is the embodiment of wisdom and an example to us in the way that we work, which starts with this idea to bring good, not harm, to those who put their trust or their confidence in us. This is God's way. If you serve in a restaurant, you seek to bring that restaurant and your managers, your employers, good, right? You seek to interact with customers in such a way that the restaurant gets a good review on Yelp. That's what it means to bring good and not harm. I see this sort of thing here at Rose Drive Friends Church all the time. I can come here all times of the day and night and bop into this place and I will see people here, volunteers or staff members who are doing something beyond the scope of their regular role to help, to bring good to our church family or to specific people. That's what it means to seek to bring good. A couple of weeks ago, I made an appointment at the Apple Store. The computer one, not the fruit one. I had to get my phone fixed. And I made the appointment online. What I didn't know is there was a glitch in the system at that point, and it allowed me to make an appointment before the store was open. I didn't know that. I just went to the mall and realized store's not open. And there's this long line of people waiting to go in. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? But you know what happened? They knew about it. They recognized the glitch, and there was a woman there who came in early to take care of me. And so I got to go right in the store. Okay, so did she work to bring good to those she worked for? Yeah. You know, if you work for a company, if you work for a firm, if you're in management, if you're an executive, you seek to build customer loyalty. You seek to improve the bottom line. Doesn't mean you always get along, doesn't mean you don't negotiate with your boss, doesn't mean you don't work out your conflicts and grievances, but it means overall you seek to bring good in your work, in your volunteer activities, the places where you're invested. That's the way wisdom works. And listen, I want to tell you this, that Proverbs is presenting this as a path to success, which means all things being equal, this is going to be good for you in your work life, but there's something more here, because our motivation isn't simply reward. This is the way of God in the world. When you want to stand for Jesus and represent Him and live with integrity for Him, this is one of the ways you do it. So when you are seeking to bring good to those who put their trust in you, those that you work with and for, one of the things that happens is you represent God. This is gospel living in our world. And it's a path to good and to success. All right, so the first thing that wisdom does is wisdom seeks to bring good. The second thing that we've seen this woman do, and we're going to see it a little bit more here, is one of the basic foundations of this path to wisdom. It's simply two words: work hard. Wisdom works hard. Did you notice some of that? Look with me back at verse 13. She selects wool and flax, and she works with eager hands. Notice that? Verse 15. She gets up while it is still night and provides for those that put their trust in her. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task, eager, vigorous, all hours of the night. Verse 18, she sees that her trading is profitable. We saw that, but did you notice the second part? Her lamp does not go out at night. Now listen, this is not advocating workaholism. This is talking about hard work, that when you seek to bring good to others, one of the responsibilities you take on is working hard. It's interesting, we're in the hiring process here, and we're often doing that. We're looking to fill our high school pastor position. As we talk to people around the community and try to get leads and ideas and input from people, it's just one of the refrains we hear so much all the time. We struggle getting people to work hard. Now, we don't have that trouble here, but other places, that's a common refrain. And so listen, God's way, God's path to success is encompassed in these two little words. Work hard. All things being equal, hard work triumphs. And the opposite of hard work in the Proverbs is laziness or idleness. Proverbs talks about it a surprising amount. Proverbs, this is more on her working hard. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Proverbs 10, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Proverbs uses these two words, poverty and wealth, in contrast quite often. It doesn't mean exactly what sometimes we think it means. For them to be wealthy, especially in their farming kind of culture, meant having enough and having a strong roof over your head and having a little put aside for the future, for next season, for tomorrow. That was prosperity. That was wealth. Not the luxurious extravagance we think of when we use words like wealth and prosperity. But for them, it was provision. And poverty for them meant not having enough, being without what you need. And one of the things that leads to that, at least for the person in the farming situation they're talking about here in Proverbs, is laziness or idleness. Proverbs isn't saying everybody who's in poverty or without needs is a lazy person, but they're saying given the choice, given the contrast between working hard on your land and not working hard on your land, one provides and one doesn't. I've been waiting to use this verse just because I love this word. I went past the field of a sluggard. You know what a sluggard is? It's exactly what it sounds like. It's a person whose life and activities are best represented by a slug. I went past the field of a sluggard. So this is an idle person, a person who doesn't work hard. Past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds. And the stone wall, it was in ruins. So do you see the direct application? The person who was not applying themselves, not working hard, their farm, their land had gone into destruction. And it wasn't producing. And so this person doesn't have enough, and there's nothing ready for next year. And in their culture, it was a little easier to have this direct connection, you know, between hard work and success, and laziness and no success, because you were a farmer. And if you didn't get up and plant in time, or if you put off harvesting, you lost your crop, and you had nothing for the winter, or nothing for next year. So the point is that hard work triumphs even when we can't see it. In our economy, it's a little harder sometimes to see the connection between hard work and success, because in good times, when things are good and people are hiring, even lazy people get jobs, right? Or if you work in a big company, a large firm, an idle person or a lazy person can get hidden or absorbed. You might look around your office floor and you might be able to identify someone and say, oh, that's a person who they don't work hard, but they're getting by, they're covered by everyone else. You can work hard, but someone else flatters their way to the promotion, right? There is injustice. Proverbs talks about injustice sometimes hampers our efforts. But the message of Proverbs is that the wise way is to work hard. That all things being equal, Hard work triumphs over laziness. So we get on the path to God's success when we work hard. Now listen, it's hard for me to talk about this without just sounding like an old codger. Just get to work, right? But the virtue of hard work, it applies no matter what we do. No matter what we do. You want to change the world? It's going to take hard work. You want to succeed in your field? It's going to take hard work. You want to raise strong kids? It's going to take hard work. And when we stand for Jesus in this world, it takes hard work. And just like doing good, people will notice. And you'll have the blessing of that kind of success. All right, so wisdom at work means we bring good, we work hard. There's another thing that we see in this passage, and it's this idea of planning ahead. It's looking to the future. Look at verse 14. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. This is a future orientation, right? To count on getting your food from the merchant ships meant you had to plan ahead. It was a long-term process. You contracted a ship, it went abroad, you waited a long time, and it came back with what you needed. So if you were counting on them, you had to think ahead. We saw this with a vineyard that she bought. She considers a field and buys it, meaning she doesn't just rush into it. She considers whether it's profitable or valuable, and out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. A vineyard is a long-term project. It takes 2 or 3 years at least for a vineyard to begin returning to you. And so this woman was being successful in her business. She's investing the profits in something long-term, a vineyard. Nothing short-term. Proverbs has a lot to say about this idea of looking ahead or planning ahead as opposed to not planning. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Right? So provision comes from the person who thinks and is diligent and plans. Lack of provision, not having what you need, comes from haste. That's the basic contrast there. Diligence, planning ahead, thinking ahead, versus haste. Okay? Haste. Let's get back to the sluggard here. This is Proverbs chapter 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. So here's a contrast. The person whose life could be epitomized by the slug is contrasted and pointed to the person whose life could be epitomized by the ant. And listen to how this talks about looking ahead. Look to the ant, consider its ways, be wise. It, the ant, has no commander, no overseer, no ruler. In other words, nobody telling it what to do. Yet, it stores its provisions in summer, and it gathers its food at harvest. It thinks about the future. It does what it does now in preparation for something that's coming. It knows, even though there's no one to tell it to do that, it knows this is a time for saving up so that I'll make it through the winter. This is the time for gathering because it can't always gather, right? So there's this future thinking, planning, orientation. And this is the way of wisdom. The way of wisdom. The way to thrive and survive in your work life thinks ahead, plans ahead, knowing that the future is in God's hands. There's a dose of humility in the book of Proverbs 2. Proverbs 27, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. So don't be arrogant, but be diligent. So trusting God, knowing that the future is in His hands, is not in conflict with the idea of thinking and planning ahead, subject to His will. All right? And this looking ahead has this amazing effect in this woman's life. Back in Proverbs 31, verse 21, did you see that one where it said, when it snows, she has no fear for her household? Why? Because the clothes have been made. Okay? So I'm leaving on vacation Wednesday. We're heading to Mammoth. Here's the problem with camping in the mountains. In the summer, when you're down here packing, it's 108 degrees. And so whenever I get to camp in the mountains, I always forget to have warm clothing. Why? Because I'm not thinking ahead, right? And that's sort of what she's talking about here. You know, even though it's hot today, she realizes the winter's coming and we got to make this stuff now. That's what she does. And it has this amazing effect in her life of allowing her to face the future without anxiety and fear, right? She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She can smile, that means, at the future. Because she's done her work ahead of time, because she's thought a little bit about the future, she has way less anxiety than we often do. That's part of the blessing in this path of wisdom that includes planning ahead. So wisdom at work means that we plan ahead, plan ahead. All right, there's one more thing I want you to see. It's so strong in this passage that we don't want to miss it. It says this, in her hands she holds the distaff and she grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Now, this is Hebrew poetry. So if we were Hebrews and we knew about their poetry and the way it was written, we'd know these two lines go together. They're written in a way that it's like roses are red, violets are blue. Like they have to go together. And do you notice what's combined? Her work, her spindle, her distaff, her weaving. This is her business, making linens and garments, and her generosity. On one hand, she holds her work. And in the other hand, what does she do? She opens her arms to the poor, and she extends her hands to the needy. And so part of the way of wisdom has to do with being generous, or we would say giving back. She doesn't just work for herself. She recognizes and understands that in all the blessings that come her way, she has a desire, she has a responsibility to help those in need, and she does it, and she holds those things together. Proverbs 11 says this, listen to this. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But people curse the one who hoards grain. But they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. So there's this contrast that is important, because all this focus on the way that this woman works might lead you to think it's so important, she's working so hard, she's saving it all up, she's keeping it for herself. But no, the way of wisdom understands the Proverbs, that those who seek to be generous continue to be blessed, and those who withhold unduly, meaning they had plenty to give, but they didn't, they held on to it thinking they'd be more profitable, they actually came to ruin. People bless and refresh those who are generous. People curse those who are greedy and stingy. And so this is part of the way at wisdom. As you're headed down the path to thriving at work, always remember the responsibility that God's people have to give back, to reflect God, to stand for Jesus in this world. It means to give back. Certainly from your financial resources, but also equally from your time, from your willingness to help others, to show them the way. And I could give you so many examples of people who have just refused to hold everything to themselves. They insist on being generous, and God continues to bless them. And I had lunch 2 weeks ago with the man who was my very first mentor in ministry. He gave me the first opportunity to work in ministry. And I was a young man, and there was a group of us 20-something youth pastors. And this one man, his name is Lyle, invested so many days, so many hours, so much time in us that now I look back on it and think, how did he do his regular job? God's continued to bless him, continued to prosper him, because he always gave back. And so that's the way of wisdom. Wisdom at work. Bring good, work hard, plan ahead, give back. That's something that you can build a life on. And all of this, we're reminded, comes from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The ability to walk in this path, it comes first from God, from our awe of God, our reverence for God, our fear of God, which leads us into the way of wisdom and gives life to every aspect of how we live. That's where it begins. And it leads to this transformation where we walk in the ways of wisdom, which leads us closer to God, which leads us further in the path of wisdom. So today, let me encourage you as we close. I want you to think about your work, paid or unpaid, your sense of vocation, purpose, the thing that you're called to at this place in your life. And let me encourage you to evaluate it against God's path to wisdom. As we pray, would you just take a moment? Maybe one of these things is going to stick out to you. Giving back, planning ahead, working hard, bringing good. One of those things is going to resonate with you. Why don't you take that to the Lord and ask Him how you can be wiser, stand more for Jesus in your world. Pray with me, will you?